Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and we've got your Monday morning quarterbacking on a Tuesday, which I guess is okay because, you know, half the world ended yesterday with Facebook and Instagram and whatever being down and offline. Me and my buddy Brian E. Roach couldn't get on the same page for this, so unfortunately you're going to have to listen to me, myself, and I share some thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers' third loss of the season, 27-17 at Green Bay. Part of the reason why there was a little bit of delay in trying to get on the same page was I was in a different time zone over at Lambeau Field, where I saw a lot of this in person. So some of you folks, I tried to watch a little bit of it back on TV, some key moments here, this and that. If I happen to have a different perspective, then you will know why, because you know what? It was like foggy. It was a little drizzly and rainy, but I absolutely have to commend the folks in Green Bay. What an amazing experience if you ever have an opportunity to go up there. Awesome. Great fan base. Pretty much welcoming, or so I'm told, as long as you're not a Bears fan. Obviously, they're kind of chief rival. Kind of goes hand in hand with like the Browns, I think, with the Steelers. I won't even say the Ravens, because I've had some good interactions with some Ravens fans that are out there. And Bengals fans, I'm not sure if they care now or what. They might. 3-1. Hey, quarter way, I'm going to still say a quarter way. I know it's a 17-game season now, but quarter way through the season, this is sort of kind of where we thought this may end up. This was obviously the worst case scenario of myself and the professor Zach Meckler from back this summer, June, July. We were looking at very much the potential of a 3-1 Ravens team, which I know they're that's not the situation right now. I know it's not the situation with the Steelers, I should say. The Steelers we had at 2-2. The Ravens we did have coming out the gate at 3-3. Actually, we even saw the Ravens kind of ripping off about six wins perhaps in a row. This was before all of the injuries, of course, hit that particular team. We even had the Bengals at 2-2, and we also had the Browns at 3-1. So we thought the Steelers may have been able to eke out one more game. Obviously, we didn't think the Bills or the Packers were a win, nor did myself and Brian last week. Now, Brian and I did talk because I had a very long drive back from Wisconsin. So I'll try and share a few of his thoughts, because it's not necessarily that we're not on the same page. I think we agree about 90% on what I'm about to share with you, but I don't always want to put words in his mouth. And he has an opportunity to record his own thoughts here and share them here on the Steel City Underground podcast. And of course, we're always trying to get the best content out to you. So just the programming note, make sure you didn't miss Terry's WTF. She got that out just a day earlier ahead of the post game. I know it seems a little out of order, but that was to cover my butt. So thank you, Terry. Go ahead and check that out. She has some also differing opinions, but she offers another view on some of the things that happen with this game. Boy, is she pissed about officiating. I know a lot of people are. Myself and Brian, the big elephant in the room, obviously, is the blocked kick, the offside call with the flag on the field. I didn't even have a chance to celebrate that as that play came towards me with Minka Fitzpatrick and the special teams unit and players all posing for the team photo. And it was like I saw the flag on the field. We said that Scott Novak's crew is terrible at throwing a lot of flags in the game. And that was something that happened. A big momentum shift in a 10-point swing. And wouldn't you know, here's the 10 points right here. And got to cover the spread, right? I know there's some folks out there that are going to say that, the bookies and how they get it right. And we also talked about the over-under for this game. I mean, 44. I think we were at 45. I think going in, I'd have to go back. I don't even know if I could look at that right now, historically. So, but it was very close to that. And we had talked about, would the Steelers get essentially blown out of this game? I understand Najee Harris's touchdown comes a little later in the game and pads this and doesn't make it look as bad as it was, because at points, this was a 2-3 possession gap. But I know there's a lot of folks out there that are extremely upset. There's all kinds of things the Steelers should have done or could have done or would have done or done differently. And I talked about some of these last week. I'm really going to try not to be a broken record on that. I think what I want to do is just highlight some key plays from this game to start and then talk about some individual performances and maybe where the Steelers can right this ship. And I think righting this ship is going to be, you got two more home games coming up before a bye week. You get the Denver Broncos, who dropped their first game. Not surprisingly, they're 3-0 record now, 3-1 after losing to the Ravens. They had defeated both of the New York football teams, the New York Football Giants and the New York Jets, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, basically the worst teams in the league. Now, I understand both the New York teams picked up some victories and own the same record, what is the Steelers right now, 1-3? The same thing, the New England Patriots. And I mean, they're a doink maybe away. Tom Brady would have had some time, 40, 50 seconds to maybe come back. Got to mention Tom Brady. Terry did it too. It was like all anybody was ever talking about Sunday nights. But some really big storylines, some big football stuff. I mean, Aaron Rodgers against Ben Roethlisberger. That hadn't happened since the Super Bowl for the end of the 2010 season, January or February 2011, I should say. And that was a pretty neat storyline because the last time these two teams faced off, it was Brett Hundley, the backup quarterback that was in Rodgers, I believe. That was the injury to his collarbone. And there was some things leading up to it, and you got a little bit of smiles and winks between Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers or whatever. There's even people that are already speculating that Ben Roethlisberger's tenure in Pittsburgh's done. Pretty much everyone is feeling, and it came from the horse's mouth, that Aaron Rodgers, this could be his last dance with the Green Bay Packers. Would he be a fit? Would he find his way into Pittsburgh? I don't know. I respect Aaron Rodgers, but I've always said he had a little bit of hype and a little bit of being overrated. Up until like last year, of course, he redeemed himself. But he had about 3-4 really rough years there where I'm like, has this guy still got what it takes? And obviously, he's a guy who doesn't turn the ball over that much. So one of the big keys here in this game against the Packers is the Steelers coughing up the football and not being able to have the same type of splash plays or momentum shifts, which they did have, and they had that robbed from them. And I think that's the one thing where myself and Brian agree, but we also agree to say this much to all the fans listening. Does that call? It does. It changes the game. I think it changes the game script. I think it changes play calling. You know, you're going to go into halftime, the Steelers, rather than maybe be down 17-10, they could be up 17-10. Have I got this right here? Yeah, because the field goal that happens here with 8 seconds remaining at halftime, Green Bay was already up 14-10, and if this play was brought back, the Steelers add on 6, hopefully 7 with the PAT, and the Packers don't put on the extra 3. So 17-14. I knew my math was off. Excuse me. It's early and I'm still drinking some coffee and I'm still jet lagged. So it was cool, though, to see the Steelers finally score in the first quarter for the first time in, I believe the statistic was 13 games. Holy cow. And of course, that happens on what? On a classic Ben Roethlisberger, draw him off sides and get the free play. Yeah, it was a 45-yard connection with Deontay Johnson. And, of course, penalty declined. 8 plays, 75 yards, about almost 5 minutes off the clock there. A very good start for the Steelers for the game. And an opening possession, let alone first quarter. I think it was opening possessions at least 13, but it might have been also first quarters. I know it was up there. It was double digits. But we know they haven't been able to score in the first quarter. Got a little bit of back and forth in this first quarter as well, because the Packers, they have an okay drive. They end up punting, and then the Steelers end up going 3-and-out. Presley Harvin boots one 45 yards, which was nice. We've been talking about him being a weapon, but later on in the game, he was also a liability. Packers get the ball back, and there's a pretty lengthy drive here of 13 plays, 64 yards, which ends with Aaron Rodgers scrambling and for 4 yards for a touchdown. This is significant because later on he has an option as to whether or not to pitch it or not. And we saw what happened last year in the NFC title game when he didn't. And that was also referenced on part of the replay that I did catch. the Steelers, they have an opportunity to answer, and the best they can muster here is a field goal. I was kind of like sitting there like, really, is Chris Boswell going to attempt? This is 50-plus yards here. And Matt LaFleur on the other side of the field, the Green Bay Packers head coach, did not send out Mason Crosby in the first quarter on that first drive. The Packers punted, opted to punt from the Steelers 40. And Chris Boswell is on the Green Bay 34. So it was a little bit closer. But I was thinking in my head, I'm like, and it didn't go for it either. So it was one of those things where you're in that field, in that middle field position of, do you go for it on fourth down? The whole analytics thing that comes into play a little bit later, as does the game situation with the time and the score. And so I can't fault some of the decision making here. I saw a little bit more promise from the Steelers that these drives were at least lasting a little bit longer. But the end of this half here, the Packers get the ball with 5:36 remaining in the second quarter, and they drive this. They take it all the way down. This would have been the blocked field goal. They get down to the Steelers 8. The defense finally holds, and they would have really held here on a 13-play, 76-yard drive that finishes with a field goal. The problem is, in the middle of this muddle here, the Packers scored 2 touchdowns. They scored 14 points within about 2.5 minutes after Ben Roethlisberger, basically Dan Moore, was thrown on top of Ben Roethlisberger by Kiki, one of the guys up front that had been criticized lately, and then recovered by Kenny Clark. And it gave Aaron Rodgers and his offense the ball at the 23-yard line after they just scored. This was only 3 plays. Let me tell you how significant this was. We talk about rest on the sideline with the defense. They had Derek Tuska out there, the kid who just got he got signed a few weeks ago from North Dakota State, released by the Denver Broncos, and then he took Jahmyr Jones's job this past week. Jahmyr Jones was not only benched last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, but he was also replaced by this second-year pro, former seventh-round pick of the Denver Broncos. Why is Tuska out there? Because Derek Watt. No, Derek Watt only got 2 plays here with the offense. I don't want to get confused with Derek. TJ Watt was getting his ankle wrapped on the sideline, and they weren't even done working on him. So Aaron Rodgers gets to operate with a short field, and they score in 4 plays, 23 yards. It was a pass to Randall Cobb. I saw some criticism of Terrell Edmonds there. Cobb comes across the whole front, the whole middle of the defense. Trey Norwood passes that off. Someone's caught flat-footed there, and the help with James Pierre, and maybe someone else, maybe it was Minka behind Edmonds. This is a play. This is the stuff that Aaron Rodgers is going to discover. He's going to grab this in real time, and he's making a lot of decisions. Not everything's perfect. And I'm going to get to that because we got a lot of flack, a lot of shade thrown on Ben Roethlisberger's way, despite the dime he threw to Deontay Johnson. That was just a picture-perfect play, and you're like, oh, Ben is back. But I still wonder if he's dealing with any pain, if he's dealing with any injuries, not only aside from the major one he came back to with his elbow, but also the most recent pec injury. Excuse me. That's very much a possibility. And I understand that everyone wants to just pile on the offensive line in this game. I'm piling on Dan Moore. I'm going to pile on some others as well. Brooke Pryor, ESPN, she's the Steelers beat reporter for that outlet, tweeted out not long after the game on Sunday. Interestingly enough, the Packers didn't pressure Roethlisberger much, and he was hit just 5 times. Took 2 sacks, by the way. He threw 40 passes. I'm going to see if that's accurate. 40 passes, yeah, 26 of 40. And he was only pressured 7% of the time, and that was the lowest pressure percentage by a quarterback with 40 attempts and a loss since 2013. The Green Bay Packers said their defense, a little banged up too, missing Za'Darius Smith. Jaire Alexander leaves the game on the cart. Darnell Savage gets hurt at one point, so they're missing guys in their secondary. They came out with a game plan that said, we're going to let Ben try to beat us. keep everything in front of us, maybe prevent the run. I don't know. Najee Harris had he had a very solid game. He's still not getting the volume that I would like. He ended up with 4.1, but at some point in the third quarter, maybe entering the fourth, I'd looked at these stats. He was at 4.8 with his yards per attempt. 4.1, I'm not going to complain about 4.1. You're getting 4.1, hand him the ball every down. You're going to get a first down at some point here. 11-yard long. Of course, he scores his first career rushing touchdown later on in this game. But Ben was not as pressured maybe as much as maybe he had it up here in his head. And I'm not sure where some of these balls are going. Behind Juju Smith-Schuster on a crossing route, very similar to the Randall Cobb play that ends up happening later. I believe that was in the second quarter. And I mean, if Juju catches this in stride, we've seen AB take it to the house. We've seen Juju take it to the house before, one of those long plays against the Detroit Lions several years ago. I was just like, whoa. And I mean, those are going to happen. Aaron Rodgers overthrows Davante Adams. Ben does it to James Washington. It's like James Washington, not quite as tall as Chase Claypool. Aaron Rodgers throws one in the dirt, too. I think Randall Cobb, he was trying to catch him, or Robert Tonyan, and he gets some pressure on him, too. TJ Watt's there. Cam Hayward's getting in there some. Alex Highsmith's getting in there. Maybe not as much as you would like, but he'll throw the ball away, whereas, you know, Ben Roethlisberger won't. TJ got his two sacks. Devin Bush got the one. And of course, the Green Bay fans weren't happy about the tripping call at the one point in the game, which I believe was a little bit of a let's tuck this in our back pocket because we, the referees, Scott Novak and his crew, went in at halftime. They have smartphones. They have technology, right? And they're looking up this play. You can get the replay anywhere. You could have found it on Twitter within about 30 seconds to a full minute. The clip was already out there in the world. I know because I'm looking at it myself. I don't think they showed a replay of that in the stadium, nor did they show really that many replays that would be of benefit to the opponent, right? That doesn't happen when you're when there's home cooking there. But I think Ben may be seeing some ghosts. So get back to Ben here because we got to halftime, and the unfortunate side effect of this whole situation is instead of going in at half up, maybe 17-14, is that the Steelers are down 17-10, and then the Packers get the ball to start the half by virtue of winning the coin toss and deferring. They come out with 12 plays, 64 yards. Yes, I understand the defense, sometimes a little rough trying to get off the field. This may be one of the best offenses they're going to see all year. We're going to see because, I mean, they still got Kansas City on the schedule, obviously, and Kansas City, even though Kansas City hasn't been Kansas City, we know it's still Patrick Mahomes and company. So, and come on, Cleveland Browns, don't even tell me about all this stuff. I'm not going there just yet. I'm not even throwing dirt on the Steelers just yet because I kind of had a gut feeling it was going to go this way. Like I said, they got two games to get it right. The Bears, or not the Bears, I'm sorry, the Broncos, who beat some bad teams. Maybe they beat the Steelers and they're a bad team. Seattle Seahawks, Sunday Night Football before the bye. Seattle has the worst defense in the league. And yeah, okay, they beat the 49ers and however many quarterbacks the 49ers had to use to get there. Some late touchdown drives there, back-to-back as well. Russell Wilson, respect the hell out of Russell Wilson, but we'll get that later. He's my favorite non-Steeler right now. The Packers, though, 9 of 15, 60% on third down. It's just that was not acceptable. The Steelers were only 4 of 11, 36%. You'd like to see that a little bit better, obviously, but I don't know. Could it get worse? We've seen worse. Joe, this offense, Matt Canada, this and that. I'm getting there. Trust me, because 282 total yards to the Packers, 367. I think the 367, the 34-41 time of possession, and the 72 offensive plays to the Steelers, 58, does not help the Steelers' defense whatsoever, especially when it still seems like they're a little walking wounded out there. My goodness. I mean, they have a problem getting off the field, but the offense got to do them some favors here. And now the Steelers are down 20-10, third quarter. The defense does hold another field goal. So, I mean, they're doing their job. They're limiting the bleeding somewhat to give Ben Roethlisberger and his unit a fighting chance. This is where it all goes south. The kickoff, and I'm going to have some things to say now about Benny Snell football because I'm having trouble processing where he fits in. I was willing to give him a chance. You heard me stick up for this guy in the offseason. I'm like, he's got to get rhythm. He's been a 100-yard rusher even with the bad offenses, whether it's Randy Fichtner or you know, an aging offensive line. I don't know what his role can be anymore. He commits a penalty here. I mean, Ray-Ray McCloud gets the ball and brings it out. He gets a 27-yard return. He gets out to the 22, which, first of all, I would have just, I'm like, he's about midway into his end zone. You're a fast dude, but you could have a splash play. But anything that doesn't get out to the 25, to me, is a waste. Why are you bringing it out? Doesn't matter. Benny Snell. That's what I was probably should have been calling him. What the hell, Benny Snell? Offensive holding, 8 yards. Okay, that was at the 16. It's a spot foul. I'm going to bring that back, and the Steelers are going to start on their 8. But this does not help. We talked about this in the pregame. Aaron Rodgers and company don't turn the ball over a whole lot. They're capable of lengthy time possession drives. Could the Steelers' offense do the same thing? They're not there yet if they could, and if they will, I don't know. Najee Harris gets out there and gets 4 yards, 6 yards, 2 yards. It's one of the few times where it was like run, 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 instead of just the let's run on first down and forget we have a running back the rest of the time. Ben misses Juju Smith-Schuster on a deep pass where he was maybe off to the races yet again. Another big play, another big opportunity missed. I believe he missed Deontay on one as well. And then there was this weird play where Benny Snell is in as a third down back, and Ben then tries to throw to him, and it's like, I'm out. The guy has committed a penalty. He can't catch the ball. I didn't really see much in the few snaps he played. I think he got some decent reps in this game, but the Steelers finally got Kalen Ballage out there for a series two, and I was much happier with having Kalen Ballage back there in pass protection. He didn't get a carry, though. And I know Kalen Ballage can also catch the ball. And I know from the preseason I was not too high on Kalen Ballage. But I'm at the point now where I've seen what I've seen in a regular season setting, and now I'm looking for alternatives. You can't have Najee out there 100% of the time, because you lose him, then it's really going to roll downhill. Oh, man. Presley Harvin punts 20 yards. He's on the 20. So, you know, long snap goes back, what, about 8 yards, 10 yards, whatever. He got nothing out of this. Aaron Rodgers starts at the Steelers' 40. Short pass to Devontae Adams, a chunk, 11 yards. A.J. Dillon, 3 yards. Then Dillon for 25, and somehow just doesn't get in. And it's like, man, just gashed, because maybe they're gassed from the previous 5.5 minute drive that the Packers had, 12 plays. And the Steelers run 6 plays on offense. How long was this possession? Let's get you some accurate. This was third quarter. Well, one drive was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The other was 2:13. Hey, guys, hurry up and grab a water. You're going to come right back. And then grab your helmet with it. You're going to come right back. It's just like, damn. This is the stuff we talked about in previous years. I know they stacked wins last year. We had some of the same criticism. We've had these criticisms years before. So the only reason I think that some things might be fixable or correctable, penalties, offensive line play, Ben Roethlisberger not being sharp, defense details, tightening up, buttoning up this unit. Also, I mean, they weren't healthy for 2 games and the 2 losses to the Raiders or the Bengals, missing a lot of key players, Devin Bush or T.J. Watt or anything like that. And you lose games, and you can't afford to lose too many, as you know. This is the National Football League. When you've got these teams that are sitting here in the AFC North all at 3-1, I really wanted to say the Ravens were 2-2 earlier, but Tucker had the ball bounce the right way. So did Boswell in this game on that 52-yarder, huh? I mean, how much more can you say the rest of this game? You had Chris Wormley punch out a ball from Aaron Jones, recovered by T.J. Watt. that was one of the few bright spots, one of the few splash plays that the Steelers were able to get, but they didn't do anything with it. And what ends up happening here is you leak into the fourth quarter. They're out. It looks promising. They finally get Pat Freiermuth involved. I don't know why he wasn't involved more throughout this game, because earlier you had just the stupidity of let's go throw a ball again to Najee Harris, because you know that worked the week before. That lost a yard on a fourth and four at Green Bay's 32. That happened in the third quarter. We've also got the fourth down play. This is actually leading into the fourth quarter. It starts out with this play where Deontay Johnson had the first down, clearly, and all of a sudden he backs out and tries to make a bigger play. Just hit the sticks. This is the one thing I did see, aside from this play, obviously, and some of the other decision-making, but I did see the Steelers, it seems like most of these plays were going towards the sticks, not all of them. Not all of them. Ben needs to make sure the ball is getting there, but it looked like there were at least some chunk plays where the week before it was like, man, this is completely helpless. It doesn't seem like they can get a first down with three tries. It's not going to be perfect every single time we talk about it. It's pro football, right? I saw a little bit there. You're like, Joe, what the heck are you talking about? No, I saw it. I mean, it's still some of the dink dunk stuff here and there. Maybe not as many of the downfield plays. He missed Juju three different times. One was the crossing route, and he had two deep. One was in the red zone, right through his fingertips. Juju had two, three steps on anyone who was covering him. You can't get any more wide open in the NFL. This was like me criticizing Dwayne Haskins for the floater to Anthony Johnson in the preseason. It's like you make that play, and I don't know what Ben was doing. I think he's like in his own head again about interceptions, and he's trying to lead people. He's throwing balls high, thinking defenders can't get to him, and he's throwing balls out further and trying to have his guys make plays. And I don't know if the touch is just off. Brian had said some of his mechanics maybe because he gets hurried because of the state of the offensive line. I won't disagree with that, that the mechanics even looked – they looked weird. I want to even say the Deontay Johnson throw. Sometimes it almost looks like he's flicking it, like Michael Vick. You know what I mean? We were talking about Michael Vick, and he didn't really have a throwing motion, especially at the end of his career when he was in Pittsburgh. But he has like this ridiculous like arm strength, and he just like snaps the ball, and it just like it looks like the Nerf Turbo going in the air, you know? And you know, Ben's balls do not look like a Nerf Turbo at the moment. And so I don't know what's going on there, if there's something else mechanically. Last year, a lot of people said mechanically maybe it was like with his knees. And I'm like, when did this thing come out with his knees? It was something very slight and short. There was some comment about it. That was after what? Was it Dallas last year? I'm trying to remember which game where he got hit low and then the rest of the way. It wasn't necessarily pretty. Deontay Johnson doesn't make the marker. And then commits a penalty. False start. So they're going to go for it on fourth and four from Green Bay's 37. And Tomlin makes this decision to fourth and nine now. Send Presley Harvin out there. Let's get the field position battle. At this point, man, you're down, what, 2-3 possessions, 27 to 10. Fourth quarter. This is the same criticism I had last week. Was reminded, because someone else brought this up somewhere, radio, TV, one of the media members. Tomlin did this in the Browns wildcard game, too. I remember heavily criticizing that going for it on fourth down. I don't know what he thinks. Like, how many possessions are you going to get in a quarter? You need three of them. Did the Steelers have three of them? Yeah, they did. I guess if you count that last one where he sails a ball for an interception two plays in. Trying to force a lot to go, I think. I don't know, this isn't necessarily all Matt Canada stuff. Someone made like a lot of good points too. You're still not getting Ben under center. Can you bootleg him? I think they're like handicapped by some of just his physical limitations of Father Time. And we could get a little more on Ben here in a moment. Let's round out this game. The Steelers defense does force a three and out. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce the punter's name for the backers, but he kicks it 57 yards, a complete different scenario, and a fair catch that has to be called by Ray McLeod, where the Steelers have it on their 37. this net positive here was you went from Green Bay's, what, 42 to your own 37, so 13 and 8 and 21 yards. That's a significant chunk of the field. It's almost like your starting position, like how much you know, when Ray's taking it out on the kickoffs, like I'm talking about, you're not even getting out to the 25. So you're losing 21 yards, and you're not always getting that much on these other drives. Man, just go for it. I don't know. At that point, it's just kind of disappointing. It's like, do you feel the game's already past you? And you end up, this is the play too, fourth down, fourth and five. This drive goes out to the 47. What do you got? About seven plays here. No huddle. They start running some no huddle. Najee runs a little bit. It kind of drives you crazy. It's like, okay, now we're going to run the ball and chew up some more clock, right? So Ben Roethlisberger finds James Washington, gets a big chunk back after being sacked by Rashawn Gary. And that's an 11-yard play. It's one of the bigger plays that happened in the game. Incomplete to Juju, fourth and five. And Juju for 2 yards. I mean, Juju is trying to Antonio Brown immaculate extension this ball into a first down and still only gets 2 yards out of this. And Kevin Dotson gets hurt on this play too. And I got some words about the offensive line. The Steelers turnover on downs. Packers run it a little bit. They end up going for it from the Steelers 35, 4th and 4. So defense still has some spots here. But my goodness, when the other team has more plays and almost 10 minutes more time of possession, how much more can you lean on this defensive unit to do all the things? You got TJ Watt with his ankle wrapped, and you've got Derek Tuska having to come in to give somebody a breather. It's tough. It's really tough. I wish I had more to say about this. It ends up being disappointing in some spots, and you're going to play this team that doesn't make very many mistakes. And my apologies, I got whatever the heck is going on out here. Maybe some rioters or something, maybe some other angry Steelers fans. I kid. It sounds like the trash man, which talk about a few guys I would like to take out to the curb right now. The Steelers get this drive. This next drive towards the end, 6:57 left, 8 plays, 65 yards. They had a legitimate defensive pass interference. You could not maybe see it on the play call, on the replay. Tony Romo says a little bit of his jersey was pulled like all the way. Like it was a pretty good obvious if you had the right angle of which the NFL. I'm going to go back to my complaint on this call too. Is they don't have camera angles on this. How can you still not have camera angles? They get this fancy like bokeh effect. Like it looks like Snapchat filters for these, you know, premier CBS afternoon of the doubleheader games. It's being watched by most everyone in the nation. Except if you the Jets and Titans were on, then you just got to see them play in overtime and miss the whole first quarter. My DVR, luckily I was at the game. I would have been so hot. My DVR didn't even start this game into the second quarter. I'd missed the Deontay Johnson play. And most of the Steelers fans that watched this game didn't even see much positive from their team until this drive with Najee Harris that ended in him leaping the pile and getting up there for a 1 yard touchdown, which barely crossed the line there just by a nose. The no-huddle offense doesn't seem to be too bad with the Steelers. It seems like, okay, when Ben's drawing some things in the dirt, I think it also has to deal with the defense can't make substitutions, so he's finding some of these mismatches. Some of the reads, I understand on the 1-4 down play, I think it was the one to Najee. He had Pat Freiermuth wide open, and a lot of people are talking about that, but he's looking right. He's looking right, and that may be the primary read. Or at least it's maybe his second read. Maybe his primary read is still someone over on the right side of the offense. And that's where he's going with the ball, and he doesn't look to the left. And it's like, if it's going here, then we got to get rid of it now and get him to the sticks. And that didn't work. And that play, it's not that play won't work. You got a little wheel route. Play works. It's just that situation. Who didn't see it coming from a mile away? And it didn't work the week before. Don't use it there on fourth and two, fourth and four. He can't even get a couple yards out of this, and it's disappointing. Najee gets his first rushing touchdown. The rest of this game, nothing else really to mention. Some of the snap counts, of course. I didn't even realize that Pat Freiermuth out-snapped Eric Ebron in this game, 32-28, which we thought might happen. Don't see a whole lot. You see a little bit of the tight ends. Zach Gentry has been active this year. They haven't had three tight ends active typically over the last several years. Randy Fickner is the offensive coordinator, yet there's not very many two tight end sets. You don't get the fullback out there, Derek Watt out there for just a whole two plays. Myself and Brian were talking about this. Brian actually brought up a play, I think, was it Najee? He chipped someone. And he said it was a better block than the entire offensive line had in this game. And I'm not going to necessarily disagree with him. You have, let me see here. I'm going to get to the offensive line, but I'm just looking to see if anything else kind of sticks out from some of the snap counts. And I don't think, well, of course, I already ragged on Benny Snell. Eight plays. Not even worth it on special teams at this point. You can have a bad game. I don't think giving Benny Snell the ball in these little short situations as a breather and trying to get the run game going isn't going to help, because he's not the same guy that can create yards like Najee Harris. One thing with Brian discussed as well, we're talking about Najee Harris getting hit almost always at or behind the line of scrimmage, and he's creating a lot of things on his own. I know he could create on his own. We got to see what we could do with the offensive line. Let's see here. Cody White came in for two plays also. So nothing else really of note to bring up here. I'd mentioned Derek Tuska played eight snaps. Trey Norwood, for some reason, he's down on this. They weren't playing heavy with the DBs, some, at least not with him. James Pierre in for 18 plays. Arthur Mollett, 29 plays, 40% of the game. A lot of Mollett in this one as opposed to Norwood. I mentioned, let's see, Tuska. Oh, Henry Mondow, 12 snaps, 17%. Isaiah Bugs has been playing in the place of Tyson Alualu. He gets about 47% of the game. You had a snap share here. TJ Watt plays 85% of this game. Almost all of the main DBs and your inside linebackers are at 90 or higher. So Alex Highsmith gets 56 and Melvin Ingram gets 49. And Ingram, I think, they're getting back there, and it's good to have him fresh and not playing more than half of the game, either in place rotating in with Watt or Highsmith. For what the defense was given, I can't complain a whole heck of a lot. I know some people want to go there. That's not where I think any of this gets fixed. Let's talk about Ben first before I get to the offensive line, because it's this is like a chicken and egg situation. You put in another quarterback. Is the line even good enough for the other quarterback to do anything? Does it mean Mason Rudolph, who is the primary backup quarterback? And I like both of these guys, once again, Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. Are they going to make faster reads? Are they going to go through their progressions properly? Are they going to see the defense improperly and maybe turn the ball over more than maybe what Ben would? Are they capable of doing anything else that Matt Canada might have? He might have in this playbook that maybe Ben isn't comfortable with, or they're not comfortable with Ben doing. Takes two to tango on this. Does your future Hall of Fame quarterback, passing Dan Marino in a couple stats in this game, is that the kind of guy that you want to, that you're paying a lot of money to, and you took a pay cut to come back? Is this the guy you want to put on the bench? Does he still give you the best chance to win? I still think he does. We've seen this happen with Ben before early in the season. People say, well, he's not playing in the preseason. And how do you put a guy out there that's making that many millions of dollars out in the preseason and risk him getting hurt? And then all you're going to complain about is, well, you had no backup plan. That's where I want to get at with the offensive line. That's all the more I'm going to say about the quarterbacks, because I still think you got to give Ben the benefit of the doubt. I'm on board with some of you that are talking about, maybe let's see what the other guys do. I was on board with that in this game, actually. I thought in the fourth quarter, at a certain point, why is he out there? Especially the last, like, where he throws the interception at the end, too. Why is he out there? You're just risking him maybe getting hurt. Maybe not. Packers weren't sending anybody for pressure. I think that's where some of the misnomer here, some of the misinformation, or some of the perception of the offensive line. Yeah, what, Trey Turner gets beat on something? Dan Moore got, like, he looked like a revolving door, too. I was out on Chukwuemeka for the week before. Dan Moore had a very poor game. I think Dan Moore has a bright future. I don't know that future is 2021. this guy's got to go back in the oven and get, you know, a little bit better cooked. He's a little raw still, okay? Got to get there. Got to get those temps up. How can you do that? Zach Banner, maybe? I mean, Zach Banner doesn't necessarily – he has the experience of being with the team, but not in-game. But you got to get off this path to know whether or not you're on the right or wrong one. And he's been practicing. He's going to have to come off IR. Is he healthy and ready? He's about the only option the Steelers have left. Joe Haig, I thought, did all right. I'm not going to say that Joe Haig is going to be amazing. In fact, I didn't really feel the offensive line this year was going to be amazing. I was expecting, let's get average. You get a few of these guys that are better than, maybe somebody has an above average game or two guys have an above average game. And this will work. This might click. I had no problem really with Kendrick Green. I thought the interior offensive line was going to be the strength of this team. And Kevin Dotson and Trey Turner haven't helped a whole lot. And that's not helping Kendrick Green. It doesn't make the tackles look any better, especially when they're getting beaten. I'm okay with Chuks Okorafor sitting. Leave Haig in. I'm ready. Let's get Banner in there for more. This might not be the best week for it, right? You got Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. But it's got to happen at some point here. And you're going to be heading into the bye, and then you're going to have to deal with Cleveland. And yeah, they've been getting after it with the pass rush. They've been playing some substandard teams as well as substandard offensive lines. That includes the Vikings this week, right? The Bears with Justin Fields and all those sacks. Myles Garrett is an equal to TJ Watt. He will cause problems. You've got to get this sorted out in the next 3 weeks before you have it. This is going to be a major division game. You still got an AFC game in conference, which could be used for tiebreaker. You got an NFC opponent. You've got a 1-3 record. And see if you could climb back into this, maybe be 500, 3-3 before a bye. Zach Banner, left tackle. Unless you think Joe Haig's going to play there, and Banner is a better right tackle. Joe Haig just got a game and a half or so, or maybe five quarters, as the right tackle. Let's leave him there. We don't need any more moving parts or making anything else weaker. My interior guys, Trey Turner is a veteran. Let's leave Trey. Even if he's not going to be that fantastic, don't have a better option because I want BJ Finney on the other side playing left guard where he used to in place of Ramon Foster. Put him in for Dotson. I think Dotson will be fine eventually. I just don't know that he got the time in and these guys are mixing well. If you're going to do anything, though, and you leave Dotson there, you got Banner. But as you can see, I'm advocating for three changes on the offensive line, and one's already happened. And actually, two has happened because Finney came in for Dotson in this game as well. And what? Dotson got hurt. Let me see here. Where did Dotson get hurt at in this game? I mentioned it just a little bit ago. How many snaps did we see from BJ Finney was in, let's see here. 11. So he got about 11 reps. Dotson was hurt where? Oh, yeah. So Finney comes in. This is the series where the Steelers score with Najee Harris. They go 8 plays, 65 yards with Finney in instead of Dotson. Now, at this point, too, how much are the Packers risking with 7 minutes left in the game and they're up 3 possessions? Not a whole lot. But I'll just leave it at that, right? You got to look at this realistically. It's the same thing as if the referees screwing the pooch on this. Once again, billion-dollar industry, and you don't have cameras perpendicular 90-degree angles intersecting all over the place like a grid. I just find that to be the most ridiculous thing, and you're relying on CBS. The NFL needs to supplement the officials with technology, and the same thing with the chain gang. I'll say it all the way around. But despite that, that call does not a game make. I think the Steelers still probably lose this game, even with that call. Maybe it's a little closer. Maybe they cover the spread with the 3 points. Then again, maybe they don't. There was a whole half of football there to do a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda, but man, would that have helped and would have been a momentum shift as well as the point spread on the scoreboard. But yeah, BJ Finney, I want Banner, Finney, Green, Turner, Haig. Let's do that. Let's do that. And then let's bring Dan Moore in as a swing tackle. Let's start getting some bigs out there. Dirk Watt. Let's start getting Pat Freiermuth, Zach Gentry. We've seen it a little bit. Let's start blocking. Claypool, sorely missed in this game. Also a physical player. Juju. I think that's the areas where the Steelers, that's the biggest thing I think that they could do right now. And you got to get the two guys that you drafted, tops overall, more involved in this. Pat Freiermuth, how many targets in this game? Just not enough. I know he had what? Just the one catch? Well, just the one catch. He was only thrown to once. That's totally unacceptable. Zach Gentry was targeted once. Overall, the tight ends four times. Ebron had two, but for only 8 yards. Very shocking. Like, he held on to the one pass. I was like, he makes the impossible look possible and the possible look impossible. And that inconsistency drives me nuts. I'm okay with him as an extra receiving threat. Throw him out on the slot or something and let one of the other tight ends sit in on the edge and help block some of these pass rushers. Got to do something. Got to do something to help here. But you see when Harris leads all the rookies in yards from scrimmage, even though the Steelers are the worst rushing football team right now. And there's no 100-yard game from Harris, 15 for 62. But he had 6 for 29 here. He had that monster game the week before. He's leading everybody, all the rookies, wide receivers or running backs, in all-purpose yards. So he's a major part. He's a major part of this offense. People tend to forget the Steelers had no cap room. Kevin Colbert didn't fix the offensive line. What else is he going to do? He didn't have money to spend. He couldn't have done anything. They didn't know David DeCastro was going to not be with this team this year until the first day they reported to camp. Kevin Dotson was hurt. They signed Trey Turner as camp starts, and then he's not always out there. A lot of times it was J.C. Hassenauer at center because Kendrick Green also missed some time too. Chuksa Okorafor working out as a left tackle. They were trying to figure out Zach Banner on the right. Rashad Coward was out there as one of the guards. B.J. Finney out there as one of the guards. Finney did not work. As far as I saw, Finney didn't take any snaps at center during training camp. You've got a lot of moving parts and pieces here with the offensive line, and it happens as you're starting the season. It's not good news, and I don't know how much patience we can have, but everyone in the draft, if the Steelers end up taking, let's say they got to take Najee Harris where they're at in the draft, right? What, 24th overall? They got to take him or he's not going to be there in the second round, nor are any running backs. And then you're really cussing because you would have just Benny Snell football and Kalen Ballage, and maybe they get somebody like Kenneth Gainwell down the road here in the draft in lieu of someone else, maybe like Dan Moore, because then they would have taken a tackle. But your tackles would have looked Tevin Jenkins, myself and the professor and Brian, we went back and forth and back and forth on this. The Bears are getting absolutely pounded by their sports media because this guy has a back injury. This is Jarvis Jones all over again, except with the offensive tackle now with the Bears that everybody thought should go to the Steelers. He wouldn't even be available. He may not even play this year. He's got some serious issues. He may not ever play ever. We don't know. That would have been worse than taking Najee Harris. Who else could you have gotten? Liam Eichenberg with the Dolphins. He's playing some. Walker Little. I don't think that's a big upgrade there. Jackson Carmen, struggling with the Bengals. He's been playing, though. Sam Cosmi, I don't think Cosmi's gotten on the field yet with the Washington football team. Dylan Raiduns and the Titans. And the Titans' offensive line, it stinks, too. You go five deep on there after Harris. These are all the players that go in the second round before the Pat Freiermuth pick. So if you were hoping one of these players you were scouting was one of your guys, they're all now off the board. And the best you can do is get, like, the 11th tackle available. I mean, that works when it's like a deep draft at the position like wide receiver with Chase Claypool going in the second round. This is why they went with Pat Freiermuth. And they knew Kendrick Green was the guy they were looking at for center. That was on their board 100% the whole way. I have no doubt about that because they would have taken the center here. And I don't think Green is the major problem or the issue here. And he fits into the style of a pulling guard converted to center that the Steelers have traditionally coveted. But I don't think the other options here. You get the maybe the best all-around tight end, the second one off the board, aside from Kyle Pitts, of course, the freak athlete that went to the Atlanta Falcons. You get Pat Freiermuth here. It's not necessarily dumb decision-making with the draft. You didn't have money in free agency to go get anybody. You're lucky to re-sign Cam Sutton and Chris Wormley and get Tyson Alualu to return. You got some of this money after David DeCastro was released, and you were able to turn that into what? Trey Turner and a trade for Joe Schobert, who was desperately needed because Robert Spillane is not very good in pass coverage. He's like a Vince Williams clone or the slower version of Lawrence Timmons in his later years of his career. But this is what it's where it's at. Everybody wants to look hindsight. They want to look in that rearview mirror. And you just can't do that. They did the best that they could do with what they had in front of them. And I truly believe that. Will it turn around? Will some of even the changes that I'm suggesting turn it around? Again, you don't know until you get off the path and see what the other one's like. We had to said all summer, could it get any worse? I mean, it's still pretty bad. It could have been worse. Can they get Pouncey to come out of retirement, maybe? Maybe not as a center. Maybe can convince him to play guard? I kind of wondered that, too. Would they put J.C. Hasenauer in as a center and move Green? Green hasn't taken – he's been taking snaps. All his reps have been center. And I don't know that Hasenauer – I criticized him a lot last year as a guard. At this point, though – some of these young bucks, they're not developing or progressing at the rapid pace that the Steelers need. And now, I hate to say it, it's desperation mode. They have to stack some wins right here. They've done this before. To fall in the hole 1-4, if they lose their fourth game before going to Cleveland, that's going to spell a lot of trouble. Because then Cleveland could very well, on the road, be a fifth loss. That's going to be a competitive game. All these games in the AFC North, if they split the AFC North, it's going to be a battle this year. But we saw Cleveland's schedule, we saw the Ravens' schedule, we saw the Bengals' schedule, and we saw the Steelers' schedule and said this was likely where the Steelers were going to end up. Thanks for entertaining my thoughts, folks. A little bit of addendum to the post game. How can the Steelers fix it? We're going to look ahead at the Denver Broncos later this week, maybe even have a special guest from one of the Denver Broncos outlets that are out here. So that will be exciting. Maybe we'll have Brian back as well, which would be great. You see the pink towel that's over my shoulder. Don't forget, Crucial Catch Time, screening save lives, breast cancer awareness, et cetera, et cetera. Also, don't forget my bookie and the winning season. If you're still rolling with that, go right ahead at my bookie. The entries are now open for the winner take all super contest. So, MyBookie is the only sportsbook that offers online super contests, so you can't miss out on the exclusive promotion. Enter now. Turn $10 into $10,000. What's the early line on this game with the Denver Broncos and the Steelers at home? It might not be looking good. +1 for the Denver Broncos. That's a tight over under 40. And Teddy Bridgewater's in concussion protocol, so we're going to have to see where that goes. This might be the one where you put your money into MyBookie. It's, again, weeks 5 through 8, you can make 5 picks against the spread, get them right, earn points, and rise up the standings, take home the $10,000 grand prize. There's some suggestions here. I'm just going to read what they're suggesting, but take a look at the Packers, the Bucks, Titans, Vikings, and Ravens. That might be your 5 picks through the 8. I get it. It's risky with the Steelers if you're doing the winning season, right? But you need another reason to head over to mybookie.ag. You got the Major League Baseball playoffs that are starting up right here. You've got everything from boxing. You got a big title fight or a big rematch that's coming up this weekend with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. There's all kind of things you could do on here. There's even soccer and tennis, and we don't even know if those are real sports. And I joke because I'm a soccer guy, so don't want to offend any of the 2%ers that are still here. But if you haven't already got in on this, use the promo code STEELCITY when you make your first deposit, and you will double your deposit. That's Steel City, so you could double your funds, double your winnings. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie. And I hadn't actually seen the line yet. This is my first time looking at it, so I was like oh boy, a 1 point. This is basically picking it straight up, and that's kind of scary. But I'll have more to say about the Broncos here in the near future. I almost said the Lions and the Bears, but that comes after the Cleveland Browns. So there's still an area, there's a hump here in the schedule where the Steelers can right this ship, and then it's going to get increasingly hard because they have like two more battles with the Baltimore Ravens toward the latter half of the season and another rematch with the Browns at home to close it out, plus a trip to Kansas City. I know it doesn't look promising and everyone's angry and upset. Could this be the rebuild year? I still don't think that the Steelers have high enough pick to go out and get a quarterback, and Mac Jones did okay against Tampa. They still didn't win that game. The Patriots are still 1-3. Actually, they're tied. There's like three teams, 1-3, Miami and New York in that division too. That's absolutely crazy. The Steelers just can't afford to lose a lot more. I mean, I still think at 6 or 7 losses, they could still be in the playoff contention. This is something we thought about with the 17-game schedule, with the 7 teams that will make it in each conference now that they trim the bye to 1 instead of 2. And now there's going to be a Monday game. Oh, my goodness. That's just going to be so bad. So I guess we'll see how this proceeds going forward. We're going to probably hear some more throughout the week as Steelers practice. We're going to see if Zach Banner. One other guy you got to get back. I would hope Stephon Tuitt. It would be really sad to see maybe his professional career on the shelf, given the circumstances. My sympathies still go out to him, but I would really like to see. I would hope maybe he has the motivation. He's in that window now to be able to return. The Steelers could really use the guy that was second on this team in sacks, help get after these quarterbacks, and they could definitely use it since Tyson Alualu, one of his normal replacements, is sitting out. Getting healthy with the ankle fracture too. So there could still be a little bit of reinforcements coming for the Steelers. Just got to hope they stay healthy. Let's see if they can have some changes on the offensive line. For better or for worse, I do think that change is necessary. I had no problem rolling in with the young guys. We saw that Ben isn't necessarily. I think Ben is just uncomfortable. I think there's some mental stuff there. Stay off social media, Ben. If you're listening to this show by any chance, still got your back, man. It's just my observations. And sometimes the observations that I'm making, I'm looking at this critically as I'm not trying to rag the guy. I'm not incredibly negative against him. I'm just hoping that there's some areas that he could still improve. We're the same age, so I know what it's like to get out of bed and hurt and be sore, 39 years old. A lot of people saying father time or he can't throw the ball downfield. I don't know that's necessarily the case. It's just the accuracy has been off. And the accuracy was off. Was that the 2017 season? We all remember that Jacksonville Jaguars game. It was like week 5 of that year where he threw 5 picks. And the old gunslinger doesn't have it. And he's missed the Antonio Brown and against the Bears right down the middle of the field. And Brown throws the Gatorade jug. And Ben doesn't have that same rapport with those guys that he did too before. Like Antonio Brown. He doesn't have draw it up in the dirt, backyard football. He's getting there with Deontay. I think he's getting there. Claypool isn't on the same page just necessarily yet. James Washington doesn't get enough plays. And obviously, something is disconnected there with Ben and Juju. And there, Juju, to close out the show, he did not lip Ben is the problem, whatever somebody was saying there. It was like, yeah, I think he said it was a bad throw or a bad pass. It's what it looked like. There was not like an extra duh, in there to people just love to cause controversy and stir it up. So we'll stir it up a little bit later. Hopefully me and Brian can get on the same page. Maybe I stop going to games and then we'll be able to do this post game a little bit earlier than on a Tuesday. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting Steel City Underground. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Check out mybookie.ag with the promo code Steel City. That's all one word, by the way. And everything else that could go along with this. Positive reviews, positive vibes. Hopefully positive comments. I know it's really tough. I'm not firing the Rooneys and not firing Tomlin and gutting all of this other stuff. There's still a foundation here. And I'm not drafting a quarterback next year either. I'm already on board with offensive line. You're going to go get a tackle, especially if this is a bad season and you got like a top 15 pick. And there's going to be 3-4 quarterbacks in a not-so-good quarterback draft, or so it looks right now, that are going to go before that. So you're going to land one of these top, maybe one of the top tackles if you have a complete crap season. And then they're going to go corner, I think, as well. They're going to do something extra with the defense and shore that up. And That's where I would be at, because I'm going to give one of these other guys, Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins, if Ben doesn't come back, I'm going to give them an opportunity. And then this, if they absolutely stink, the Steelers will have another high pick. And then they could look at a quarterback who will have an improved offensive line, a very strong defense, and he's still going to have weapons like Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth there to support him. Steelers were thinking ahead with those picks, whether you like to think about it or not. That way, I would like to be in win-now mode. They got to be in win-now mode regardless. It's going to happen. I feel it's going to turn around a little bit. Is it going to be great? No. It's going to be ugly. And what can be better than an ugly Steelers win? Nothing. And maybe a clean Steelers win. Maybe a blowout. I'm not anticipating anything like that yet, because this team needs to score at least 20 points before I get on board with that. Until next time, folks, my name is Joe Kuzma. As always, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.